from D. James Kennedy Ministries. This is Kennedy Classics. Welcome to Kennedy Classics.
Hello and welcome to Kennedy Classics, a viewer-supported program. I'm Frank Wright, president of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. Make sure to visit our ministry website at djkm.org, where you'll find a rich library of excellent biblically-based resources.
Does the Bible teach socialism? What would you say to those who claim it does? You'll find the answers in the booklet, Does the Bible Teach Socialism? From the new Truth in Action Question and Answer Series. This 8-page booklet lays out the arguments on both sides in a clear and concise way. It gives you the biblical talking points to be able to answer those who claim the Bible mandates socialism. To get your copy, please call, write, or go online. And be sure to include a generous donation towards the ongoing work of this ministry. And we'll send you the new Truth in Action Q&A booklet, Does the Bible Teach Socialism?
Albert Einstein once said, "The only source of knowledge is experience." While that is arguable as a general proposition, it is from this notion that we get the familiar proverb telling us that experience is the best teacher. Perhaps the Norwegian proverb puts it best, experience is the best teacher, but the tuition is high. Well, one thing does seem true. The lessons we learn from experience often are the most enduring, and we learn much from the experience of others. This is why the scriptures admonish us to consider the examples of God's dealing with His people. And interestingly, the negative examples are some of the most powerful. Can it be that a bad example is a good thing? Well, here's Dr. D. James Kennedy with his message, The Value of a Negative Example.
Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from the 10th chapter of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. May we hear the inspired, the infallible word of the living God. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were for our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And may God speak to our hearts and minds this day through his holy word. May his name evermore be praised. Amen. A minister was out in his yard, and he was busily making a trellis to hold up a vine that he was going to plant. And as he was working away, he finally noticed that there was a young boy about 12 years old who was standing over there watching him. And he nodded at the young lad, and he continued to work on the trellis, thinking he would go away. But after a while, he noticed that he was still there. So finally he said to the lad, getting a lesson in horticulture? He said, no. I just wanted to hear what a preacher said when he hit his thumb with a hammer. Yes, my friends. People are watching. They're not only watching preachers, they're watching every Christian. Some of them are watching hopefully. Some of them are watching hatefully, looking for an opportunity to blaspheme our God. But in any case, in either case, the world is watching everyone who professes faith in the living God. So I'd like to speak to you today about the value of a negative example. Now, the Bible teaches not only by precept, but also by example, both good and bad. There are many noble examples in the Scripture of men and women who have lived godly and selfless lives, who have followed their Savior in the midst of the most difficult of persecutions, who have given their lives even to testify to the reality of their faith. There are, however, in the Scriptures, and sometimes we may even fail to see them, a great many negative examples, and there is power in a bad example. So therefore, I'd like for you to note, first of all, with me, the incredible openness and candor of Scripture concerning the sins and failings and fallings of those who profess faith in the living God. Even its greatest saints have their portraits drawn with all of the moles and wrinkles and warts present. Abraham and his lie about his wife, Moses and his anger and disobedience to God, David in his adultery and his attempt to cover it over with murder. In the New Testament, there is the cowardly denial of Peter. There is the failure of Mark, who turned tail and ran in the midst of his first missionary trip. There is even the total apostasy of notable professors of faith. We all are certainly aware of the case of Judas, who has got to be the all-time bad example, falling from the high position of one of the 12 apostles. Then there is the New Testament companion of Paul, Demas, who started out well, and yet we finally come to that mournful and doleful sentence in Paul's epistle, so pregnant with meaning for our worldly age in which we live, where he said this, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. How stark a contrast to those who loved not their lives unto death and were willing to give them up for Christ. But it's true not only of leaders, apostles, prophets, and evangelists and missionaries, but it's true that the Bible has some very terrible things to say about the masses of those who professed faith. For example, in the Old Testament church, you recall that in the wilderness wanderings after they left Egypt, that the Israelites so angered the Lord that he swear in his wrath that they would never enter into the land of promise. And the entire Israelitish nation perished in the wilderness, everyone who was an adult. And only those who were children at the time of the sin at Kadesh Barnea were allowed to enter in. The power of a bad example. You know, my daughter is afraid of electricity. If she's not afraid of it, she has a very healthy respect for it, at the least. The reason for that goes back to many decades before she was born. I was 9, my brother George was 10, and he was always getting into something, and usually getting me into it also. I still bear the scars of some of the things he got me into. Well, this particular day, he decided that he'd find out what was inside that socket in the wall. So he got a Boy Scout knife and wrapped it with a towel, and the two of us, on all fours, crept up close to the wall socket, and he took the knife and he stuck it in the socket. Awake, thou that sleepest. And the explosion that took place then made that sound very, very faint. There was a tremendous explosion. My brother was thrown head over heels backward all the way across the room. Smoke was pouring out of the socket. And when we picked up the knife, a large portion of this big blade was just gone. And I can still clearly see that Boy Scout knife with half of its blade all missing. And I learned a lesson from a very bad example that has stood me in good for all of these years. And when my daughter was just a little thing crawling around the house, I said, don't get close to that socket. And she heard that story about my brother when she was just a little thing. In fact, she heard it a number of times. And she has a healthy respect for electricity, because there is power in a bad example as well as a good one. Who has read the story of David and Bathsheba and seen the incredibly horrible consequences that came upon David and his family? The death of the infant, the rape of his daughter, the murder of one son committed against the brother that raped the sister, the son that threw his father off the throne. The sword shall never leave thy family, said the prophet. So it was. And who has not read those words and feared lest a similar thing should come upon them? We're wise when we learn from the path men have trod the heartache that comes when we disobey God. The way of the transgressor is hard. I have talked to young people who have gone for just one night's pleasure, and now they find themselves in an incredibly difficult situation. And life seems to have caved in all around them. And I've thought of those words again. The way of the transgressor is hard. The wages of sin is death. And so the scripture takes all of this and brings it down to this admonition. Let him that thinketh that he standeth take heed lest he fall. And there is the word that God would have us to learn out of all of this. Regardless of who you are, take heed, especially those that think that they stand. Just at the time when we think that we have reached such spiritual maturity, when we have grown so much in grace, do you know that there is a certain particular tendency to sin that growth in the knowledge of the Christian faith brings? It brings spiritual pride. It can very easily lead a person to become pharisaical in his judgmental attitude toward others. That was part of the problem of the Israelites when they murmured against Moses and Aaron. They thought that they were doing it from a place of spiritual superiority, and they were condemning them for their failures. They were condemning them for bringing them out into this wilderness and for not providing them with the nourishment that they felt that they needed and could have gotten elsewhere. And God killed them for murmuring. Let him that thinketh that he standeth take heed lest he fall. Now, I believe that the sovereign God will keep his very own, and those that are truly his he will hold up. But remember, we do not stand. We are upheld by the power of God, and we are capable in our own fallen natures of slipping into the most heinous of sin at any time in our lives. Therefore, we need to pray, lead us not in temptation, deliver us from evil. That is a prayer of the most mature of God's saints. Sometimes people almost tremble as they see the leadership fall. If it can happen to them, what will befall me? But my friends, finally, we're told in this passage that we're not to despair. The scripture says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape." And may I say that God's common method of escape is to be found in the daily quiet time, as we spend time in prayer confessing our sins and asking God to infill us with His Spirit and to cleanse us and to deliver us from all temptations to evil. When we spend time in His Word, looking to Him to strengthen us by the power of that life-giving Word. Here we are clothed with the armor of Christ. Here we are enabled to face the temptations of life and to escape the snare of the evil one. Oh, my friends, I would urge you, are you spending time with God in that quiet time in prayer and in the study of His Word? Do you regularly read His Word? I wonder if I ask all of you who regularly each day read the Word of God and pray to stand, how many of you would be sitting red-facedly in your pews? Do you know a survey of this nation? The whole country revealed that only 11% of Americans read the Word of God daily. Now, I trust that in the church it's much higher, but that is true across the nation. Take heed and read and pray. And remember that any man and all men will ultimately fail you, for each of us has feet of clay, and sometimes those feet of clay extend all the way up to our ears. But there is one whose feet are not of clay, and that is Jesus Christ. We must remember that our faith is not to be in men, but in the living God, in Jesus Christ. When John saw Christ in the first chapter of the book of Revelation, he saw that his feet were as fine brass, as though burnt in a furnace. There is one who will never crumble, who will never fail. the altogether perfect one, the paragon of virtue, the stainless, sinless Christ. He is the one in whom you can trust. Every one of us should pray above all else that we will never fail Christ. Do you know one of the greatest concerns of my entire ministry? And one of the most frequent prayers is, oh Lord, let me never do anything that would bring disgrace upon the name of Jesus Christ. We ought to pray that every day for ourselves and for all believers, that the name of Christ might be exalted. Ah, my friends, regardless of what the world says, is it not wonderful that at least the Church of Jesus Christ holds up a standard from which men may fall? You can't fall from the basement. And that's where many of the critics live. But only Christ holds up a standard from which men may fall. And I would ask you to judge your own heart today. Are you in Christ? Have you come to Him confessing your own sins, acknowledging your own wickedness? Or have you facilely pointed the finger and condemned others? My friends, there will come a time when we'll stand before the judgment of God, at which hour it is said that every man will give an account of himself. Not of the hypocrites in the church. The Bible says that God has His eye on the hypocrite, and the hypocrite will have his place in the lake of fire. But every man will give an account of himself. And in that day, anyone who is not found in Jesus Christ, washed in the cleansing stream that comes from Calvary, clothed in the perfect, spotless white robes of the Savior, will be eternally condemned. Oh, come, even now, and find His mercy and grace while the day of grace still shines upon us. There are many right now listening to my words who will never hear my voice again. Throughout this land, throughout this world, many will be dead and will never in this world hear my voice again. I urge you, I implore you, come to Christ and find forgiveness for your sins. Find the new life that He can give to those whose hearts sincerely yield themselves to Him. May we pray. Father, eternity looms before us all. It is just a matter of moments for the youngest of us, eternally speaking, when we shall step through the veil and stand before the judgment throne of God. Oh, in that day may we be found not clothed in our own supposed righteousness, but in the perfect white righteousness of Christ. Lord, for those of us who have trusted Christ, may we take heed to our lives, and in all that we do, may we walk circumspectly before Thee, and each day seek Thy face in Thy word and prayer, to be clothed with the armor of God, that we may live as good soldiers of Christ. For His great name we ask. Amen.
Dr. Kennedy asks an important question. Are you in Christ? Have you come to Him confessing your sins and asking for His forgiveness? If not, I urge you to not let another day go by. Today is the day of salvation. You know, heaven is an absolutely free gift. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. But Jesus, through His death on the cross, has paid the penalty for our sins. And now He offers us this free gift. If you'd like to know life to the full now and for all eternity, we can go to God together in prayer right now saying, Lord Jesus Christ, I know that in thought, word, and deed, I have offended you, and I am sorry. Please forgive me. Come into my heart as my Savior and Lord. I place my trust in you and you alone, and ask you to help me to grow in this new life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I may live a life pleasing to you. In your name I pray. Amen. I hope you prayed that prayer and meant it. And if you did, then you've just begun a new life in Christ. And to help you grow, we'd like to send you Beginning Again, the book written by Dr. Kennedy for new believers. Inside, you'll find the Gospel of John and chapters on how to pray, how to share your faith with others, and much more. To receive your copy, just write to our address or call our toll-free number and ask for Beginning Again. God bless you as you do.
As Dr. Kennedy shared with us today, the scriptures are filled with examples, both negative and positive. We want to learn to live in light of the holiness of God's great patriarchs, and we also want to avoid their greatest sins. But most importantly, the scriptures show us that none of us fully measures up. All of us need the salvation offered by Jesus Christ. If you would like a DVD or CD copy of today's program for yourself or to share with someone else, we'll be happy to send you one as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11164, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 888-332-3069. Or you can go online to djkm.org. Your generous donation helps us to continue broadcasting powerful gospel messages like this, as well as standing for truth and defending your freedom. And you can give with confidence because for 30 years, we have proudly been a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, adhering to biblical standards of responsible stewardship. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Kennedy Classics. We'll see you next time.
Does the Bible teach socialism? What would you say to those who claim it does? You'll find the answers in the booklet, Does the Bible Teach Socialism? From the new Truth in Action Question and Answer series. This 8-page booklet lays out the arguments on both sides in a clear and concise way. It gives you the biblical talking points to be able to answer those who claim the Bible mandates socialism. To get your copy, please call, write, or go online. And be sure to include a generous donation towards the ongoing work of this ministry. And we'll send you the new Truth in Action Q&A booklet, Does the Bible Teach Socialism?
This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.